Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Robin Williams, ABC, Australian Broadcasting Corporation's radio show called The Science Show. This has been an institution and a mainstay of scientists and technical people out in the ABC audience for possibly over 30 years, easily over 30 years. And I'm doing a podcast on this, my own little science show, because it's been a core inspiration for me in knowing the power of voice and sort of the quietness of you listening to a show. So there's some really great shows that I've listened to. I suppose various ones about neurology. The Roof of Hell was a fantastic show. There's lots of good shows, and they're really well structured. And it's a really good thing that scientists are getting out there and communicating. So as I've known this, I've had this as a sort of a core guiding principle. Now, I'm doing this as a quick podcast before I go off to cardiac rehab. I've arrived in the car park a little bit early, and you say, look, how can this happen? Well, backstory, this is about a tribute to it, but the tribute is not necessarily a knowledge tribute. I know that I have been just occasionally emailing Robin a few one-liners saying, oh, have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? And he's emailed me back very insightful one-liners. He sort of put me on to the fact that Newton invented the cat flap, and I investigated that and read up more about Newton. I was able to send him information about the fact that Shakespeare's Hamlet is a play about Tycho Brahe. Well, that's how you pronounce it, I suppose. We don't get to talk about these things in normal life. And so we've had a friendly thing, and occasionally I send off emails to him. Sometimes they don't work. What I had discovered is a fault in ANSTO's periodic table. Well, this is probably a bit too head-scratching. How could you possibly find that? But indeed, yes, there is an error in the structure of a lot of periodic tables. And this is, you know, given that this new sense, oh no, look, this is perhaps not what we shouldn't pursue. So in general, I had the general format of the science, a sort of combination of things in my head. So there's nothing more to the science show. I'll probably try and put a link to it in this podcast. So I had the general format of knowing that you can structure and speak about things. Now, what's happened is that, if you like, I've had a building scaffold of how the structure of ideas go and various things. And the early talks I would talk about my motivation, the structure, what I'm aiming to do to guide myself. And now that scaffolding is moving away. I'm moving a lot more of it away. And significantly, I've known that I've had to have the scaffolding there, but further down the track as an engineer. So I have to engineer that scaffolding away. So, look, it's really hard to describe in terms of I have a long-range term, be able to produce several podcasts a day, one podcast per science lesson, because they are high quality, and people can brush aside I'm not spruiking the quality, but people do brush aside the quality. So if I can actually get the quality science lesson out there, get a bit of international exposure, general exposure, sort of very candid, honest way of doing it, I should be able to proceed forward. I should be able to breach one barrier. There are many, many sort of political barriers keeping me out of the classroom, keeping me out of teaching science. There's been medical barriers as well. I'm back here doing cardiac rehab. But the plan, basically, oh, it's hard to describe, but basically I'm a robotics scientist, and so and have done production lines. So as you see, look, this production. This is an overall production need. Can we fix it? Oh, yes, we can. To quote Bob the Builder, I actually did a excruciatingly painful for the audience lecture on
Oh, cultural aspects of robotics. They wanted me to talk about robotics, but I couldn't actually talk about it. It was all confidential, business confidential at the time. So I talked about the cultural aspects of robotics and about how Bob the Builder and Flintstones are all a myth of autonomy, of things being ultra smart, and we tend to be unquestioning of it and have false expectations, which means that we can't actually get things done. And that's to a certain extent true and false in the same thing. So knowing the actual overall structure of what has to be done, I knew that I had to get a sufficient volume of podcasts in the production line, and then to shape for that, to explore, understand, and then to actually build the actual devices. So what will happen here is I'll put in this dictaphone into the computer, or hit a button, and it will put the music beginning and end, and it's like we're a day or two off from it automatically blocking, but it's very, very close to it. But in order to get that structure, to order to understand, I have to have the volume of production up, and just the general sense. So as the actual tribute to the science show, just checking what the time is, yeah, I'll be able to make it up then. I've actually built a science show, not a science show robot, science show software, so that you can actually record and place things in. And so a record is placed out there, and what's happening, it's a work in progress. As I begin to speak and push things forward, I'll be able to do this far more naturally. So if I'm at such and such a standard, rather than actually poo-poo and abandon it, over time, with time, I'll be able to produce more intense, more dramatic podcasts, get down to the ideas, let the various ideas flow, say various descriptions and reflections, and just overall experience. Hopefully I'll get some mentoring and be able to push ahead. But this is the sort of the crash the crash through on the idea. So I've basically used basic robotics software, which is LabVIEW software, to basically it's just doing a bit of DOS and a bit of emailing and a bit of file manipulation, nothing very special, but it is a LabVIEW program, so you can actually program it really quickly. So all up, it's taken me about a couple of hours, but most of that has been struggling with this. And so and of course the actual overall linkage, so the podcast gets to a blogger, which then goes to a feed. There's a large number of people at the moment on the feed, not on the blogger. Which then is linked to iTunes and also to Twitter. So it produces an automatic tweet and an automatic filing in iTunes. iTunes is perhaps the least successful, so I don't really understand that. So what I do is I've got a product, beginning to get a product which is ripe for someone to come in and manage and help me get it to that next stage, to get it out there. And of course the next stage is to have produce overwhelming science lessons, that is, a podcast broadcast, international seal of approval, website, fully documented, fully planned, and then see where we go. See if I could be stopped teaching it this time. But that's the overall plan. And part of it is this inspirational science show. You hear it in the distance, and that science show is just floating into the heads of engineers, and it's been turned into a sort of a mechanical product. And hopefully, my great hope is that students can read things. You get a great insight into something if you read it to yourself, there's one insight, but if you read it aloud, an article aloud, that's another huge insight. It's a huge learning thing that we could do to expand the science show experience actually into education. No one has thought that engineers will pick up the science show and actually pump it into
sort of smart software, and no one has thought that look, the science show, it's beneficial. Well, therefore, why don't we actually get our students producing their own science show? And there are naysayers out there. There are people who want to basically keep Australia going. Sort of, it's a bit like a Volkswagen scam, so to speak, in terms of they want to actually control the test results, and they're focused on the test results. I suppose I'm not so much focused on protecting the brand and the testing regime. I'm interested in the life experience, the actual look and feel, the handling of your car, your educational mental car. So I've gone off to the side a little bit. But it is that those other views to see the science show as a science, as a not just something you enjoy, but as a potential product which can actually be manipulated to go across. And of course, I don't have a sound engineer. I don't have the time and the resources to actually edit this. So it's just, you know, come on, brain, up to your standards. You're going to get there. And tough. Every day, produce a couple of podcasts and you will get there, or you have to. I shouldn't say, a lot of people are relying on me doing it. And a lot of people don't think they are, but I think a lot of people are relying on me getting across the line, and I'll do it. Well, it's time for me to go off to my happy cardiac rehab. Great people up here in the hospital, a great exercise physiologist, and the cardi team, our little cardi team. We swap phone numbers, and just a few I still keep friends with, and because I'm a second gen cyborg with a chaotic graphite. I love the idea. Diamond seems to impress, but if you've got the idea that my heart valve that I put in is made out of chaotic graphite, I think that will send a shiver down everyone's spine to think I'm a source of disruptive chaos trying to do this. And the idea that they've actually found the most chaotic material known to man and actually put it in my heart. It's just man or woman, person, humanity, and put it in my heart. I think that's a great idea. Thanks for listening. I'll put this off and put it up as a podcast. I'll send it off to Robin, my mate, and see how he goes. Thanks for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.